protection for those connecting over live stream. I trust that you guys are ready for this. Maintaining the fire of God. Amen. 2 weeks back, I was sitting. I actually preached this message last week in Centurion. And while preparing for it, I was just in the place where I normally am when I just relax, where God normally speaks with me. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit had dropped this message. I was thinking on the fire of God, and I thought to myself, no, man, I know this. This is something I love. This is something active in my life. Surely I can quickly get together a message. And I'm thinking, I'm lying there, and I'm thinking all of the scriptures on fire throughout the Word of God. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit had dropped this message in my spirit. And it was like, I had to like rush because now I've got no pen, no paper, and my laptop's not close by. And I don't want to miss the revelation. When God gives you something, make sure that you document it immediately. This is of the utmost importance. Are you guys with me? Let me say that again. When God drops something into your spirit, don't just leave it. We tend to think that we're going to remember. It's like a dream. When you wake up, you document whatever the Holy Spirit gives you. Document it immediately. And so I was rushing to get to my laptop, grabbing it, forcing it open, telling him to, and Pastor Minister's like, are you okay? Is everything okay? I'm just typing away because I don't want to miss it. And so in seconds, the Holy Spirit gave me about 12 pages of a message. You know, when the Holy Spirit gives you something, it will drop in seconds. And what you receive in seconds, the moment that you sit down and you start to write it out, it then starts to be, the veil now comes off. And you'll find that it now becomes pages and pages and pages. One small revelation, you think when it drops into your spirit, it's small, but it's actually a massive thing the moment that you really get into it. Are you guys with me? So what I'm going to give you on this morning is straight out of heaven. It's a message that is really close to my heart. And it's something that I'm really excited about. You know, for those who know me, know that I love spiritual warfare. And when it comes to the fire of God, you cannot listen. If you want to become efficient and effective in spiritual matters, in other words, if you want to become an effective partaker of the activities of the kingdom of heaven, you cannot do it without the fire of God. Are you guys with me? You need the fire of God in your life in order to perform signs, miracles, healings, and wonders. If you're going to preach the gospel, for you to be able to preach the gospel with boldness, it requires a certain fire. It is known as a holy fire. It is the fire of the Lord. Are you guys with me? You cannot preach the word of God with boldness unless you carry the fire of God. And there's a way that you receive this fire, and there's a way that you maintain it. There's a way that you increase it. Are you guys with me? And that is exactly what we're going to get into this morning. And I'm just going to jump right into it. But before I do, I first would like to say that I greatly honor and respect the spiritual authority that is over this house. And that is both Prophet Leon and Prophetess Esti Lee Dupria. I want to thank them both for once again entrusting me to take the pulpit in this morning to minister the word of God that I love so much onto each and every one of you. Amen. And so the Bible says, and I'm just going to flow, I'm going to get into a lot of scriptures this morning. So if you came for the Word of God, that's exactly what you'll receive. And really, we're going to, for those who always say that, yeah, but they never read out of the Bible, you're going to choke on those words this morning. Are you guys with me? And so I'm just going to flow and let the scriptures, I hope the guys can just keep up. And so I know that in the mornings we teach. I'll try my best to stay in the teaching realm. Amen. In other words, amen. Okay. The Bible says, and the book of Exodus chapter 14, verse 24 and 25, this King James, and it says, and it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Listen, the Bible says here that he was looking onto the host of the Egyptians. And the Egyptians, obviously, the enemies of Israel, through this pillar of fire. Are you guys with me? Understand that that there's a fire that burns within, upon, and around a believer when you first come onto salvation. When you first come onto the Lord Jesus Christ and you gain knowledge, when you gain knowledge and revelation of your God-given call and purpose, there's a fire that you receive. Are you guys with me? And this fire is known as the fire of the Lord. It is a holy fire. Are you guys with me? The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, also King James, you can just keep it there unless otherwise stated. And it says there that I indeed, this is John the Baptist speaking, saying that I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Say with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Say again, say Holy Ghost and with fire. It is two separate baptisms. Being baptized in the Holy Ghost and being baptized in with holy fire is not the same thing. They serve different functions. And you need to understand the difference of them both. Are you guys with me? We kind of have explained that. That's not what I want to get into. But you need to understand that there's a fire, a certain fire, known as a holy fire. Say holy fire. This means that as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we have now become those very pillars of fire. And it is through you and I that God now looks onto the host of our enemies. Now, if you read the story carefully of what have taken place in the book of Exodus, it says that when the Egyptians came to attack Israel, that the fire of God moved from before them to behind them, forming a wall. It formed a wall of fire, preventing their enemies from reaching them. There's a certain fire that surrounds you that will cause the weapons, the plans, and the devices, the assignments of the enemy Satan, not being able to reach you. Are you guys with me? It is known as a holy fire. This is a dimension that we reach, where we now become infused with, endowed with, imbued with, where we become at one with this holy fire. Nothing can stand against you. I don't know if you guys are getting this. This is not a normal type of fire. This is a fire that marks a no authorization zone to our adversity, the devil and his dark and evil kingdom. This is a fire that no devil in hell can withstand. Understand that the gates of hell cannot and will not and shall not prevail against the believer that carries this type of fire. This is a fire that will dismantle the plans, weapons, assignments of the enemy Satan. This is a fire that casts out darkness and establishes the kingdom of God. Meaning that wherever your feet now touches the ground, there's a dimension of heaven surrounding you. There's a fire all around you, causing you to establish the authority of heaven. This is a fire that will cause you to heal the brokenhearted. This is a fire that will cause you to set the captives free. This is a fire that will cause you and give you the ability to heal the sick. This is a fire that will cause you and give you the ability to preach the acceptable year of the Lord with boldness, returning the hearts of the people back to God. That is why it is so important to keep this fire burning. It is a fire that you receive the moment that you gain revelation and knowledge of your God-given call and purpose. Because with your God-given call and purpose, there is something attached to it called passion. Say passion. And this passion is what will release the fire of God in your life. It is known as a holy fire. I pray that even in this morning, I declare and I decree, even those connecting over live stream, that a new passion, a new desire for the things of God will be stirred up on your heart, and therefore a new fire will be kindled. If this is for you, give God a praise offering. I'm preaching far better than you responding. Say holy fire. You see, there's many that think, and this is not the thing. There are many that think they have lost this fire. And this is where the enemy have succeeded to get many to fail in what God have called them for. by making them think that they have lost this fire, but that's impossible. You see, there's something underneath all of the ashes known as ember, burning coals. I'm telling you this morning that as long as you carry a little bit of light and as long as there's a little bit of hope, just a little bit of hope still left in you, a little bit of light that no amount of darkness will be able to prevail against you. That little, even that little bit of hope that you have is more than enough that God can use it to rekindle and restore a holy fire to burn within upon and around you. That will set you on fire, that will stir your spirit, causing you to receive that boldness, that zeal and that passion that you used to have for God. All that needs to take place is someone needs to shove away, blow away the ashes, and those embers will become exposed again. The only thing that is now necessary is to place new wood on top of those exposed embers. New wood. You need new revelation. You need a new encounter. You need a new infilling. I hope that you're getting this. There's a new hunger that will be stirred up. And then it requires someone to come and breathe. When you place that new wood upon those embers, it seems like the fire have died, but not quite. The moment you place something new on top of it, with new wood, and you start to breathe upon it, so you stir up that fire again. You stir up that fire. You stir up that fire until that flame burns again. That is exactly what will happen in this morning. Listen, if you're sitting here, for those connecting over live stream, if you feel that fire have died, that you've lost that passion, that zeal that you used to have for God, even from those sitting here, even if you still have that fire, you can say, Pastor Martin, you know what? I've never lost that fire. That zeal and that passion in my heart is only burning stronger. But I would like to increase the measure, the level, the intensity of my fire. I want to tell you, this message is for you. Are you guys with me? And this morning, that is exactly what you will receive. Amen. Listen, I'm gonna run through this message. I want to really contain myself because Word of God excites me beyond measure. So I'm really trying hard to contain myself. I'm going to give you a few keys on the fire of God that you need to understand. Amen. Point number one, understand this, is that you can increase the intensity. It's possible to increase it. The intensity, the measure, the level of the fire that is burning in your life, that holy fire. Are you guys with me? Listen, in the natural, there's a way that you make a fire. There's a way that you keep it burning, and there's a way that you increase the fire. Are you guys with me? Amen. How many of you have made a bonfire? Come on now. Being South African, you must have made a bonfire in your life. For some of you, when you have a barbecue in the backyard, it looks like you're trying to burn down the backyard. Your neighbors will watch over the wall, and it's like, what are they doing? No, we're just having a barbecue. You know, some people will take gasoline, and they will pour it on the wood. Light a match, and then it's like everything gone. And I'll do it again next week. So there's a way that you start a fire. For those who have seen a bonfire made, even if you've not made one yourself, you'll take note that there's a way that you start this fire. There's a way that you keep it burning. And there's a way that you increase the intensity of the heat that it gives out. Am I right? Amen. Now, in the same way, spiritually, there's a way that we make a fire. There's a way that we keep this fire burning. And there's a way that we can increase the intensity, the measure, the level of the heat that you give out. Are you guys with me? Put on the screen for me, Daniel. I'm just quickly going to run through this. Apologies if I'm going too fast, but I'm really going to run through it. Daniel chapter 3 verse 19, New King James. Daniel chapter 3 verse 19. Daniel chapter 3 verse 19, New King James, and you can just follow with me on the screen. I'll be going up until verse 30. Thought you're going to have a lot of scripture. Amen. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Listen, it is exactly the same for believers. There's a way that you can start this fire, and there's a way that you increase the intensity and the heat and the level, the measure of this fire that you carry. I declare and I decree that even in this morning, for those connecting with me, hearing me, those whose hearts are open to receive this word, that the fire that you carry will start to burn even 7 times stronger. You will not leave the same way that you came in, but fire will burn stronger. I declare and I decree in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 20, and he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 21, then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Verse 25, look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurts, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar is an idol worshiper. The man is as wicked as they come. The man is evil to the core of his being. He has never seen the Lord God. He does not know this. But yet, when he looked around, he saw a 4th man standing in the fire. You see, the moment that you encounter God, immediate revelation takes place that this is the true God. You can be of whatever religion, I don't care. Your spirit man knows its creator. That is why even Muslims, when they come in trouble, life-threatening situation, what will they do? They will cry out to God. Why? Because in a life-threatening situation, your spiritual senses become heightened. And your spirit knows the source of its helper, the true source, and they will cry, even they will cry out to God. Come on now. And you will know, the moment this man turned around and he saw this 4th figure, he knew that this was the who? The Son of God. Again in the Old Testament, Jesus being revealed. The living Word. Are you guys with me? There's an immediate revelation that took place when this man saw him. He said that this could be Noah. And the moment that you receive that revelation, salvation is evidence. It does not matter your situation, it does not matter your circumstance, it does not matter what comes up against you, what you are caught up in, your current spirit, it does not matter. The moment you encounter the living Word, salvation is evident. It will take place. It will set you free. Are you guys with me? Listen to this. Listen to this. Are you guys still with me? Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. Verse 27, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. Say this fire. Say this fire. This fire had no power over them. The hair on their head was not singed, nor were the garments affected, and the smell of fire was not even on them. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed, listen to this, And he's saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made as an ash heap. Because there is no other God who can deliver like this. There is no other God that can deliver. This was a Gentile, someone lost in witchcraft and sorcery, caught up in what is demonic. But the moment he encountered the living word, he was immediately set free. And he confessed that there is no other God. This God that they serve, this is the only true living God. Listen, this holy fire that burns within, upon, and around you. I hope that you guys are getting this. It is a fire that will consume even the fire that the enemy sends out against you. Are you guys with me? Understand that as a believer, you will face so many fires in life. You will pass through so many fires in life. And you will need a fire that is burning stronger than the fire sent out against you, so that you can successfully pass through that fire. Are you guys with me? The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, this is NIV, Romans chapter 8 verse 17 to verse 19, NIV, and it says, now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his what? In his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Go on for me. I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Listen, so if you're going to face these fires of life, it's very important that you carry a fire stronger than the fire sent out against you. That fire is known as a holy fire. It is the fire of the only true living, everlasting, great and awesome true living God. Are you guys with me? This fire is known as the fire of the Lord. Say the fire of the Lord. It is known as the fire of the Lord. Listen, the Bible says in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38, King James, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. The what? The fire of what? The fire of the Lord. So there's a fire known as the fire of the Lord. It is a holy fire. Are you guys with me? Say holy fire. There's a fire burning within, around, and upon you as a believer that is stronger than any fire that this world or that hell has got to offer. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 and verse 2, King James, put that on the screen for me. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 and verse 2. And he said, but now saith that, thus saith the Lord God, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Go on for me. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Listen, encounter. It does not matter what situation, what circumstance, what it is that you're passing through, these fires of persecution, it does not matter. I'm telling you that God is walking by your side. His word says that I will never leave you and that I will never forsake you. I will always be with you. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says that I am the Lord your God that goes before you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you and to give you victory. He's always by your side. He will never leave you nor forsake you. It is time for a generation that can rise up and can say, my God, I believe, I trust in your word, that when you say that you will never leave me nor forsake me, that is your truth. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I have found this to be true over and over and over again. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Man, there's a fire that burns stronger than any fire of hell sent against you. The Bible says that when Moses threw his staff to the ground, it turned to a serpent. The sorcerers of Pharaoh did the same thing. Their staffs also turned to serpents. But what happened? Moses' serpent ate their serpents. There's one fire, one true fire that burns stronger than any fire of hell that have been sent against you. I don't know if you guys are getting this. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, when we speak about the spiritual armor, therefore, listen, in addition to all this, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All the flaming arrows of the evil one. Listen, when a born-again believer speaks the word of God, releases the word of God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it collides with your faith, it causes a divine, atomic, holy explosion that will destroy your enemies on impact. If you can only see in the Spirit, many times I've prayed, said, God, just for a moment, just pull me outside of time. Maybe I shouldn't say this on live stream. There's a video coming. Guys must remind me I'm on live stream. Help me to see the effect of our prayers. My God, help me to see what happens when I speak your word, when I quote scripture. What happens in the supernatural? Are you guys with me? I want to remind you of this, and I preached on this before, but I just want to bring you into remembrance when we preached on fasting, on the effects of an atomic bomb. When they did a study on when the atomic bombs were released and detonated over Hiroshima. And they say that when this bomb detonates, the results are devastating, catastrophic. Are you guys with me? That when this bomb detonates, it creates a devastating blast radius of 1.6 kilometers. It creates a surface temperature of more than 6,000 degrees Celsius, meaning that water disintegrates immediately. Everything within this blast radius disintegrates on impact. Like, it's like it never existed. It disintegrates. This is followed by a blinding light and a firestorm to follow, that covers a radius of 3.2 kilometers, a firestorm. But now, as a born-again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit of the everlasting, true, living God, you carry the power that you carry as the supernatural, divine power that you carry as a believer filled with the Holy Spirit are far more powerful than all the atomic bombs put together, detonated at the same time. Imagine that. I say again, that when a born-again believer decides to open his mouth and speak and release the word of God, and it's accompanied by, done by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and that word collides and mixes, there's a mixture with your faith. It is a dangerous mixture. It causes a divine explosion, a divine atomic bomb exploding, causing your enemies to disintegrate on impact. I always say, when you're going to run for anything, run for the word. Listen, there's a fire that burns upon you. Do you not know this? It's a holy fire, and it is stronger than any fire that hell has got to offer. It consumes that fire. Cannot stand against it. Are you guys with me? This is a fire that will ignite miracles, signs and wonders, healings to manifest not just in your life, but to those around you. Listen, meaning that where you now go, there's a radius, a blast radius, depending on your knowledge and depending on your revelation that you have of Him, because we continually have to grow in our accuracy of the Lord God Almighty. Because right at this moment, let's say, for example, everyone, including myself, there's a certain percentage of your doctrine that is incorrect. Meaning, let's say, for example, that, let's say 10% of what you believe is incorrect. It is that 10% that is incorrect that the enemy will use as an avenue to take you out. And so we continually have to strive to grow in accuracy of the Lord God Almighty, because the more knowledge and revelation that I gain of Him, the more I will know that this part of my life is not in alignment with His Word, and I can then get in an alignment. Now I've grown in accuracy of the God, meaning that the radius, the blast radius of heaven surrounding me has now increased. That when I now walk into an atmosphere, when I walk and step into a place, I will cause someone to manifest. I'm not speaking demonic manifestation. I'm speaking that each and every one of you sitting here, connecting with me over live stream, understand that there are many destinies and callings of other people locked up in you, and they are waiting for you to become a part of their life so that what God have called them for can start to manifest. I say again that this is what will happen. Now, when I step into a place, they will start to manifest. The Bible says that everything that comes into light becomes exposed. And the entry of His Word brings light. Come on, encounter. There's something happening in the supernatural when you walk. There is something happening in the supernatural when you just breathe. Because your breath is not your own no more. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, even your breath becomes Ruach. When you speak, it is the breath of the Spirit. It changes the atmosphere, the molecules. Filling the atmosphere becomes supercharged. It becomes, you create a supernatural atmosphere around you just by speaking His Word. Anything coming into that vicinity must change accordingly. Meaning your calling and your purpose must come to revelation. Your calling and your purpose must start to flow. The gifts and the talents that God have placed on the inside of you must be activated on instant, on impact. I hope that you guys are getting this. Come on. Are the people around you manifesting? Because we get excited. Yes, yes, yes. But all the people around you manifesting. I don't want to just preach a message. This must become a reality in your life. Come on, are they manifesting? When you go to your workplace, are you all the people around you manifesting? Not demonically. Are their hearts being turned back to God? And they find revelation of what they've been called for. Because you carry something. Because you've received it, you can give it. But you cannot give what you have not received. But if I have encountered God, and I've gained knowledge of my call and my purpose, I've gained knowledge of this message in this morning, of this is what I must do as a believer, you can now give it. Your intention must change. Don't just go to work to do what you need to do, but please now take this in context. Don't neglect what you must do. Everything you do, you must do as if you do it unto God. But change your motive. Add to your motive, add to your intention, that when I go into my workplace, my God, may one person at least be changed by my presence. Give me the opportunity, my Lord. Create the opportunity where I can at least preach the gospel. Create an opportunity where I can at least pray for someone and they can receive a breakthrough and they can receive a miracle so that you can be glorified. Greater opportunities. Come on. How many of you go out with that intention and can pray some of God, create opportunities. Today, create opportunities. But make me aware of the opportunities that you create. That it be to your glory. Come on, encounter. Why are you afraid? What's holding you back? Who lied to you? Who told you you cannot do it? Whatever you listen to that you've stopped. May that passion that zeal, that hunger for people, that compassion be reignited. Hope someone is getting this. Hope that I've got people with me in this morning. Listen, this is a fire that will cause you to preach the acceptable year of the Lord with boldness. It will cause those that have gone lost, that need salvation, to cry out, Jesus, I need you. You cannot cry out unless that fire is not burning in your heart. We have had so many testimonies, and I've shared this last week in Centurion. How many testimonies we've not received of people. There were people that would come to the service to make right with God, and then afterwards they're going to commit suicide. Done deal. But when they stepped into the church, something shifted in their hearts. Something changed. And all of a sudden, all they could find themselves doing is saying, my God, my life is yours. All I want is just to live for you. Take it. Take all of it. And they would come to the altar afterwards and they would say, you know what? I was about to destroy myself. But something changed in my heart. And all I now want is just more of Him. What is that? It is the fire of God. And you carry that. The fire will always ignite a passion and a desire for the things of God. How many of you can say that when you come to church, when you leave, you just, there's a new hunger. You just, it feels like you're invincible. You can go out and you can just, you're invincible. You can just accomplish anything. It's like you're standing on top of, come on. I feel like that in prophet services. Man, you've seen me when I get so excited when prophet preach. And I love it when I can just attend one of his services. Because it's like a refresher. It's just like living water and it's fire, fire. And when I start, I'm like, yes, I've got new fire. I can continue. Got this. Are you guys with me? Return to your first love. Many have lost their first love. Listen, this is a fire that will make you stand out from the rest. This is a fire that will elevate you into a position for promotion. Are you guys with me? Go back for me to the book of Daniel. Where were we? I don't even know. Daniel chapter 3, verse 30. Listen to this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. It's a fire that will elevate you into a position where you can receive promotion. Are you guys with me? Your boss won't understand it. I've seen this thing firsthand. Pastor Marie, this was when I was still lost in the world. Amen. But I would see her being promoted in the midst of witchcraft. A boss was a Wiccan. So you can imagine the clash. She could not explain it, but when she found herself, she would just double Pastor Marie's salary. It's a fire. I'm telling you, my wife is a fireball. She, for those who know Pastor Marie, that, listen, there's no gray area. The thing is either white or black. And if it's black, it must, not must, it will. It's like, I thank God for that woman. She saved my life. Amen. It's a fire that will cause you to receive promotion. Amen. Point number two, I think we are at point number two. Am I right? Was that only point number one? Okay, point number two. This fire is generational. If you think that it's not for you, you're incorrect. This fire is generational. Say generational. Put on the screen for me 2 Timothy and the guys doing scriptures. Just bear with me for where I'm at so that when I go back, you know where I were. Amen. Because I'm going to jump around. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Put on for me the Amplified, but the classical one, AMPC. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. And this is Paul speaking to his son Timothy. And he's saying, I am calling up memories In other words, he's reminding Timothy, I'm calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith. Yo. The leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence, in His power, wisdom, and goodness. A faith, say a faith, that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I am fully persuaded dwells in you also. Listen, Paul is speaking to Timothy here, and his true and faithful son in the body of Christ, saying that the same fire that burned in your grandmother is the same fire that I saw burning in your mother, and without a reason of doubt, is the same fire that I see burning in you. How can Paul be so sure about this thing? It's because of the actions. He's the fruits. You will test every tree by the fruit that it bears. And because of the fruit that you bear, Timothy, I'm convinced that the same fire that burned in her, in your mother, is the same fire that is burning in you. Listen, there's a holy fire that existed even before time began, even before this earth has been set into its foundation. I don't know if you're getting this. It is a holy fire passed on, and it's now burning in you. And this is a fire that does not quench. It is a fire, as it's being passed on, only burns stronger and stronger and stronger. It's a generational fire. God told Abraham, this is the blessing. You are my nation. I call you unto myself. And this is the blessing. This is the blessing established in eternity. The blessing was passed on generational to Isaac, was passed on to Jacob, and then he gave birth to the 12 tribes of Israel, and the blessing was passed on. But now the Bible says that we are the seed of Abraham. What blessing do you think you carry? What blessing. There's a generational fire upon your life. I don't know if you guys are getting this. There's a generational fire. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Remember now this scripture because we're going to come back to it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. King James. And it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. There's an incorruptible seed. The moment that you come unto salvation, there's a holy fire burning within, upon, and around you. It's a generational fire. It's gone through certain processes before it reached you. Meaning it's a fire that is already seasoned in experience. It's a fire that is seasoned in blessing. It is a fire that is seasoned in prosperity. It is a fire that is seasoned in breakthrough. It's a generational fire that rests upon you. This is no ordinary fire. Are you guys with me? It is an inherent fire, holy fire, that resides in you by virtue of its nature, meaning it is one of the attributes of God imparted at the moment of salvation. Are you guys with me? Go back for me to the other scripture again. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, but go for me to verse 6. That is why I would remind you to stir up. Say stir up. Rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God. The inner fire, say the inner fire, that is in you by means of the laying on of hands with those of the elders at your ordination. Are you guys with me? They have asked so many times, Pastor Martin, why every Sunday evening do you lay hands? Stir up. Stir it up. It says stir up. Listen, the Bible says that you need to stir up that flame. You need to stir that fire. If you do not keep it stirring, it will grow. It will go cold. Stir it up. Stir it up. So when we lay hands and I go fire and I breathe, I'm flaming that fire to another level. There's something taking place in the supernatural that you're unaware of. But suddenly you can do something you couldn't do before. Are you guys with me? Be expectant. When we lay hands. Because a new level, you're being taken to a new level every time that you're being laid hands on. Are you guys with me? Amen. So how do I keep this fire burning? And I'll close off with this. There's a few points though. How do I keep the fire burning? Say passion. Say again, say passion. There's a passion that comes from your calling and your purpose that will keep this fire burning. Are you guys with me? Understand that there's something attached to your calling and purpose known as passion. Say again, say passion. It is very important that you recognize and find out what excites you. What stirs your spirits? And with that passion, you also need to recognize and identify what suffocates your passion. Or who? Are you guys with me? Listen, understand that passion, say passion. This is fire, is an unstoppable force. When you have passion, nothing can stand in your way. Have you ever met someone with passion for something? You listen, who is in Afrikaans? Hulle is dik vellig. They're stubborn. You will almost confuse their passion for stubbornness. They just don't give up. You're right, Stefan. Giving up is not even a part of your vocabulary if you've got passion for something. It's something that the word doesn't make sense to passion. When you're someone with passion, giving up just doesn't make sense. What is that? There's no barrier of limitation that can stand in your way. Come, hello, I water. I will get through this and I will accomplish what God has said. There's a passion that is burning in my heart. I don't know if you guys are getting that. Passion is necessary for success. Passion is even more important than money. Passion establishes vision and will cause your dreams to become a reality. Where vision gives direction, say vision. So where vision gives direction, passion coupled with faith is the vehicle that will get you there. Are you guys with me? Passion is God's purpose burning in you like fire. Say passion. It is very important that you keep yourself surrounded with people that has got the same goal and the same vision in mind. Because those are the ones that will keep that fire burning. Like-minded people. Are you guys with me? Say passion. Listen, you need those that will stir up a passion in you. Passion for what? And I've said this before, do not seek counsel from worldly people. You will get worldly advice. Stay with those that stir up a hunger for God. That when you leave that individual's presence, you feel like, wow, where's the Bible? I just don't want to read. Now I want to pray. Now I want to worship. Stay with those. Stick with those that stir up a passion for lost souls, a passion for the word, a passion for giving, a passion for prayer, a passion for worship, a passion to non-stop seeking the face of God, a passion for the things of God. Come on, huh? Listen, how many of you used to have a passion and a zeal? You couldn't wait to get to church. You couldn't wait to get to the evening service. You couldn't wait for Jerusalem. You couldn't wait for SOD. You couldn't wait for SOL. You couldn't wait for E-group. You couldn't wait for prayer meetings. Now you have to be dragged to church. What happens? Who have lied to you? Who have killed your passion? Who have destroyed your desire in concert? You have lost your first love. And it is time to return to your first love. Get that hunger back. You do it by decision. You see, the problem is this. You stay away one service, it's okay. One becomes two, now it becomes easy. First, it bothers you, that one that, I'm not there, it feels wrong. It should, because you're breaking a commandment. Bible is very clear on this. Do not if you want to or if you feel like it. The Bible says do not neglect the gathering of the saints. When the Apostle Paul spoke these words, he knew exactly what he was talking about. And the importance thereof, because he knew that if you're going to neglect this, your fire will go cold. And that is why we sit with an isolation situation on our hands. I'm live streaming. Let me not go and attack the government now. Isolation. Understand that if you're being isolated, it's the enemy setting you up for destruction. Do not neglect the gathering. Why? Because we need to exhort one another. I've actually given you another point there. Keep the fire burning. Do not neglect the gathering of the saints. Point number two. Are you guys with me? So I'm still with passion. I've just given you another point there. Kind of thinking of it. The Bible says that one will put 1,000 to flight. And 2, 10,000. How many people are we here in this morning? Don't say that loud. For the 50 people here. All wearing masks. I'm so proud of you. If one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000, multiply that by how many people sitting here. How many people are we sending to flight this morning? Those connecting with us over live stream. The enemy is afraid. Satan is afraid of you. The problem is you don't know it. Amen. Listen, if you place someone in a position doing something they've got a passion for, that person will become very productive. Place them in a position, something they hate doing, for many of you just going to work because it's just making ends meet. What a horrible way of living. Just making ends meet. Surviving, taking day by day, just getting up, going through the motions. All you're doing is serving time. When you're in prison, they've got this term that you're serving time. What does it mean? It means like they will all tell you that it's like we're just wasting time. Why? Because that's what you're doing. So if that is your thing, just getting up, just doing your thing, you're serving time. Are you guys with me? But place someone in a position doing something they've got a passion for, they will excel. They will be productive. They will go beyond measure. The word must become your passion. Prayer must become your passion. Worship, he must become your passion. So that you can become spiritually productive, effective and efficient. Say passion. Passion is what releases. It is the thing, the core thing that releases the fire of God. If you want to carry the fire, you need passion. Are you guys with me? Say passion. Listen, here we've got Jeremiah, and I know time, I know. I'm almost done. Is this okay? In closing. Here we've got Jeremiah, and he acknowledges that he's a prophet. But this prophet was assigned with a difficult task. God chose this prophet to preach persecution. Amen? He prophesied judgment. So you can imagine this guy was permanently persecuted. He was the one to go and tell Israel, because of you doing this, this, and this, this is not what's going to happen. And they hated him for it. I mean, the man was permanently almost being killed. And so he reached the level where he was tired. And he said, I'm done. I'm no longer going to preach in your name, my God. I'm finished. How many of you have reached that level? Come on now, be honest. Yes, Jeremiah, a prophet called by God, acknowledging that I am a prophet, but he's saying that I am done and I will no longer anymore preach in your word. I'm done. My God, now it's just me and you. I don't mind. I'm just going to walk and talk with you like normal. Don't send me anywhere. I'm done. Are you guys with me? Put on the screen for me, Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 9. New King James. Jeremiah 20 verse 9, it says, verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Man was clearly tired up until this point. He wanted to give up. Are you guys with me? But his word was in my heart, like a burning fire, meaning passion. Say passion. Shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. This fire comes from purpose. Listen, as many times I can tell you that I have thought to myself, I don't know how I'm going to carry on. I don't know how I'm going to carry on. And I would sit and say, God, that's it. And I would close the door, put on some music, and I will just sit back and just enjoy His presence. And all of a sudden, I will just imagine how I'm preaching. My passion, my desire, my calling, and my purpose. And I would imagine how I'm preaching. And how people are being set afire, set alight, set on holy fire. How the Spirit of God goes forth and heals the sick. How they encounter God. And I would see how people are being refreshed, restored under the living word. I would see how the lame would stand up and walk. I would see deaf ears opening up. I would physically see it in front of me like a vision, like a movie play. I would see the blind eyes opening up. I would see the power and fire go forth from the pulpits, just touching and changing lives. And before I know it, I'm pacing where I was sitting, feeling miserable. I was pacing up and down in that room. And I was, without knowing it, I'm starting quoting scripture. And I'm starting praying in the Spirit. And without even knowing it, this fire was burning in my heart. There's a passion and desire. And I could not hold it back. And before I knew it, I was roaring like a lion in that room. Speaking the word of God with boldness, and something stirred on the inside of me, and a new fire shed on fire on sons. I don't know if you guys are getting this. You see, many times I think God is looking and is thinking, what's wrong with you? When was this about you? I learned that the hard way, because we tend to get to a place where I can't even. Here we've got Abraham. Abraham's wife is upset. And he says, it's time for Hagar and Ishmael to go. Abraham blesses the boy before he sends them off with a little bit of food and water. Hagar was in the wilderness before. It's not the first time. It's the second time she's being sent into the wilderness. She survived the wilderness the first time. The second time she's being sent in, the food and the water is up. What does she do? She takes the boy that represents a promise and she places him underneath a bush because she does not want to see the promise die. And she walks away a good bowshot away, sat down and start weeping bitterly. And the Bible says that an angel of the Lord appeared unto her and said, hey God, why are you crying? I can't go on anymore. Shame. Cute. I know this might sound hard. and harsh. But get my heart in this. You need to man up. And he said, "Hi God, why are you crying?" For the Lord heard the cry of the boy. What did he hear? He heard the sound of the promise. He heard the sound of the passion. He heard the sound of the desire. There is a cry within your passion. There is a cry within your God-given call and purpose that echoes through eternity. That even when it feels that you want to give up, that will overpower it, and God will respond to the call and to the purpose each and every time, and He will use it to pick you up. He said, "Hi, God. Take the boy, take the promise, and lift it up." So she took the promise and she lifted it up. For many of you, it is time to return to your promise. Take that promise and lift it up again. Get that passion back. Let that fire burn again. And the Bible says, she lifted up her eyes and suddenly she could see the well. Are you joking? Serious? That is why God responded. What is wrong with you? I'm telling you, weeping and you're crying, but God is telling you the well is just there. It is right there. My word is there. I am close to you. I am here. A well represents sustaining life. And God is telling you when you're weeping and crying, "Listen, my son and my daughter, do you not know that I've ordained you for greatness? There is purpose locked up on the inside of you. That when I look at you, all that I see is what I have created you for. You do not have to beg me. You are there is royalty. There is royal blood flowing through your veins. You are mine, and I have ordained you for a time such as this, not to struggle. Lift up your eyes, look at me, and walk in what I've given you. You will get through this. You will not die, but you will live." And she lifted up her eyes and she saw sustaining life. She's been there before. But when that passion is lost, a veil comes over your eyes and you can no longer see what you should see. And that's when you fall on your knees and you break down and you break to pieces. It should not be like that. Are you guys with me? I'm preaching to myself. Trust me. I'm preaching more to myself than to you. With a blue personality, this is a very real thing. That pity party. Trust me, blue personalities, pity parties. Experts. We should become actors. Let me carry on. Point number two was do not neglect the gathering of the saints. I'm not going to get into that now. I can explain that. Point number three, do not allow offense and unforgiveness to take root in your hearts. Amen. I'm not going to get into it now because of time. We all understand offense, hopefully. Point number four, continually present yourself. Remember, these are keys on how to keep the fire burning. Continually present yourself a living sacrifice. Say a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. And it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Amen. Say a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Meaning there's something that I must do to keep this fire going. I can't just sit back and wait for God to do it. He's already done everything. He's already done it. You now need to take action. Are you guys with me? This is my reasonable service, meaning I now need to take action. There's something I must do to keep this fire burning. Amen. So what are those living sacrifices that you must present continually? Please take note. This must be a continue. In other words, it must become a lifestyle. Are you guys with me? Sacrifice number one, consistent. Say consistent prayer. Not when crisis hits and then all of a sudden you want to throw yourself down to your knees and cry out. Thank God we serve a merciful God. Unconditional love, and He will always be there to help. But it's not right. Amen. Consistent prayer. Prayer is not a lifeline to a crisis. Although you can use it as such, it's not that. Prayer is a relationship platform with God. Very important. It is in prayer that we look at God to become more like Him. Are you guys with me? It is in prayer. Prayer is the vehicle that will take you into the throne room of heaven, into the meeting rooms of heaven, where you will receive strategic battle plans concerning your life, your loved ones, your ministry, your calling, your purpose, concerning every aspect of your life. You cannot afford to neglect prayer. Prophet, I've stated that for this season, even for those who will neglect prayer, will not survive the season. Many have already forgotten that. Consistent prayer. Say consistent prayer. Of the utmost importance. Second sacrifice. Consistent Bible study. I'm just going to name them. Three, consistent in fasting. Four, consistent in giving. I don't need to get into that. Five, consistent in your praise and in your worship. Amen. Those are the sacrifices that must make up a part of your life as a believer consistently. It must become a lifestyle. I think I've lost a few people. My filter is working. Point number five. On how to keep the fire burning. And this is the last one. Foresee the Lord before you always. Foresee the Lord before you always. Are you guys with me? And I've spoken to the JSOM students on this last week, Sunday evening in Centurion also, and I want to give it to the people on live stream, as this is something that really have changed my life. And I think for the guys that have heard it, that have actually applied it, will be able to relate and say, you know what, it's true, it actually does work. Are you guys with me? Foresee the Lord before you always. Say imagination. Put on the screen for me Acts chapter 2 verse 25. And this is the last point, and also I'll be closing off with this, really. Put on for me the King James. New King James, please. New King James. So I think I've both, there was a teaching and a preaching. At least I got half of it in teaching mode. Let's try and end off in the teaching spirit. And it says, for David says concerning me. So yes, the author is quoting scripture, Old Testament. And it says, for David says concerning him. Let me just read out of my Bible. Sorry, I almost forgot. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for He is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. So listen, there's a key in this that will cause you to be unshaken. Unshaken in what? So that you will not stagger at the promise. You will not stagger at the God-given call and purpose that God has given. You will not stagger in this race. You will not fall. You will not stumble, but stay strong. Are you guys with me? Come on, how many of you can say that I need something that can equip me, can train me, mold me, shape me, that I can clothe myself with and will cause me to stay strong in this race? This is not impossible. Just leave it here. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that for those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be faint, and they shall walk and not be weary. Come on now. So there's a way that I can actually get myself into a dimension where I don't get tired spiritually, but I keep on going. like, yes, where do I sign? I want that. Are you guys with me? Here's the kids locked up in this. And it says, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Listen, this word foresaw is to foresee. And it means to imagine. Are you guys with me? David is saying that, listen, I foresaw the Lord. How do I foresee something? How do I see something that is not taking place yet? Come on, it's plain and simple. It's not a trick question. If there's something that is not yet taken place, but I know it must yet take place, and how it's going to take place, what must I do? How can I foresee it? I must imagine it. Are you guys with me? In other words, I imagine before I come into a service how I preach. That's what I do. I imagine. I would imagine myself preaching, and I would imagine certain people sitting somewhere. Luckily for me, it's easy because everyone almost sit at the same place every time, almost. And I will imagine certain people sitting and how God will speak to certain people. And then how I test it is when I come out and those people are actually sitting there. Then I know there's something happening here. I hope that you guys are hearing me. You see, many times what we do is we make this mistake, and that is to write off our imagination as, oh, it's just my thoughts. Whereas God is actually showing you something. But now here's the thing. I would deliberately, in my imagination, in my thoughts, I will deliberately think something. It's not like the heavens open and you hear angel. Ah. And there's this vision. No, I would sit and I would deliberately imagine something. For example, in worship, I would deliberately imagine God on his throne. This is what I do in worship. I would imagine him on his throne. And it's just light, because the Bible describes the throne, so I've got a reference point. So I would imagine how it looks. I would imagine myself stepping in, kneeling. I would see the elders casting their crowns before the Lord. I would see the angels crying out, holy, holy, holy. And before you know it, you actually hear the angels. And that's the moment where I just drop down to my knees, because I can't find myself doing it. It's like you just drop down in splendor, in awe of Jesus' greatness. Are you guys with me? That is, I would deliberately imagine it, but who's to say that what I'm seeing is not really happening? How do I know it's really happening? Because the Bible says that the angels stands around the throne room day in and day out, 24/7 hours a day, and they cry out, holy, holy, holy. So when I see it, I know it's really happening now. I would imagine when I do Bible study, the Holy Spirit sit in front of me. And I would see this light. I would imagine myself, as the Bible describes, that the entry of his word brings light. I would imagine how his light continually comes into me. And how I'm on holy fire. I would see myself like that. When I look in the mirror, that's what I see. I see just light. Who's to say that it's not real? Oh, that's a strong imagination. Who's to say it's not real? David did it. He said that I foresaw the Lord before me always. And because I could do this, I never stumble. Put that scripture back up, please. That I may not be shaken. Because I'm doing this, I will never be shaken. That's what it says there. Because I'm doing this, I will not be shaken. So now, here's the thing. If I want to imagine God before me always, you know, have you ever heard me preach? While I'm preaching, I would say that, you know what, I always see God before me. Have you ever heard me say that? I said many times. I would always say that, I always see God before me. This is what it means. I always imagine God by my side or before me. But now here's the thing. How do I imagine something I've never seen before? Because for you to have the ability to imagine something, you must have seen it before. Otherwise, you can't generate a picture. Are you guys with me? So now that means this now becomes a supernatural thing. Meaning that I need a helper that knows. And he's the Holy Spirit. And now the Bible says that I have the mind of Christ. You see, the enemy can use this as well. That's where people will sit and fantasize, for example. I'm not speaking about that. Are you guys with me? I'm speaking that when you sit with a pure heart, pure motives, and you set your heart to understanding, you close your eyes and you imagine the things of Scripture. You're imagining God before you always. I'm telling you, you will feel a presence like you've never felt it in your life before. Because now you've got an imagination. There's now something happening in the supernatural. The Bible says, I have got the mind of Christ. So now what I think must be generated by the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? I can only imagine God to the extent that the Scripture explains Him. But if I want to go further and beyond that, I need a helper. And it's possible. How did John manage to see what he saw in the book of Revelation when he described the throne room? He needed a helper. But the Bible says that the Spirit took him. And suddenly he saw a door open. And he saw the throne. Are you guys with me? Why can that not happen to us? See, what I'm giving you is all Scripture. And no one can take this out of context. John did it. He sat. And all of a sudden, it says in the book of Revelations, and the Spirit of God took him. And he saw Ezekiel. And the hand of the Lord was upon me. The Spirit of the Lord came and took me. What did he see? God showed him something. So we've got a helper with us. But it's important that you develop this principle where you see God before you always. Are you guys with me? It's a very powerful principle. If you can start to do that, nothing will be able to touch you. For example, now this will happen, and this is something very practical and very real, something we all deal with. Let's say, for example, you get involved in an argument. The way that you're going to respond now is going to be different. If I foresee God before me always, how I now respond to this individual just before I'm about to lose it. You know, most when people say that, I only saw red. That for me is a load of, it's nonsense. I only saw red. Don't know what I did. No, you did. You didn't know. You didn't know. You just didn't have control over what you did. But you didn't know exactly well what you did. I was so drunk, I didn't know what I... No, you did. No. You didn't know. You just didn't have control. So how do I gain that control? When I foresee God before me always, it immediately changes the way that I respond. Know this, and I'll leave you with this. And it's specifically when it gets to when you get in an argument or starts fighting with someone. Remember that everyone, whether they saved or unsaved, everyone was made in the image of God. So when you fight with someone and you get angry and you start cursing or cussing someone, remember they've been made in the image of God. Are you guys with me? Now, knowing that will change the way that you speak. Who do you think you're yelling at? Who do you think you're losing your temper at? Scary thought. Are you guys with me? Foresee, if you can foresee God before you always, it will change the way that you respond. In everything. And no matter what the enemy throws at you, you just don't see it anymore. I just see God before me. And as a result, let me just take my Bible again. As a result, I will not be shaken. 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 It will cause a fire to burn upon and around you continually. Amen. Let me stop there. Good timing, exactly on time. You can just stand with me. You can just close your eyes. Those connecting with us over live stream, you can just close your eyes. Just raise your hands. Stand with us as well. Father, we thank you for this word that you've shared with us in this morning. I pray, my God, that it will fall on fruitful ground. My God, I pray that it will become a reality in the lives of the hearers. My God, I pray that they will have the ability to practically apply this.